Emma Goldman once said, "The most violent element in society is ignorance." Welcome to the 58th episode of Our Hen House, a place to find our way to change the world for animals. In today's episode, Marianne and I come to you from Atlanta, Georgia, where we are sampling all of the vegan yumminess this city has to offer and meeting up with activists and entrepreneurs who are changing the world for animals right here in the beautiful South. We'll catch up with Jeanette Zeiss from Vegan Dish, who will give us the inside scoop on what it's like to run a vegan-themed pottery business. Then, joining us today for our feature interview are Ken and Lee Saluzzi from Cosmo's Vegan Shop. Woo! Ken and Lee will share with us their esteemed opinion on hot new vegan products, and they'll offer advice to anyone interested in starting a vegan business. For our review, we'll give you a sneak peek into the up-and-coming vegan bakery here in Atlanta called Dough. If you don't live in Atlanta, you might just want to plan a visit.
Yes.
All that, vegan banter, and of course, current events from the world of animal rights. My name is Jasmine Singer, and I'll be your co-host today in our hen house, along with my southern belle, Marianne Sullivan. Now please, pull up some hay. Let's get squawking. I'd like to welcome my co-host, Marianne Sullivan.
Hello, my little peach.
Well, why ever do you call me a peach?
You're my Georgia peach. Nobody in Georgia actually has a southern accent.
Sing an Atlanta song.
Oh, Atlanta. Da-da-dee-da.
I think you made
I'm
that up.
I'm coming back to you one fine
okay,
day.
Okay. So this is our. Hurry. All right. We get the point.
No
this is our Atlanta episode. We did this episode in Atlanta, Georgia, and now we're home, and we have lots to tell you about Atlanta, and we are.
We ate our way through Atlanta.
We did, and that's thanks to the help.
We were like Sherman marching our way.
That's
creating devastation where we go.
That's thanks to the help of Jessica Mahady and Allison Kligman. I don't know.
That's a funny name. Kligman.
She got married many times. And just always to all Kligman or a Kligman. No, that's not true.
She wouldn't change her name.
She wouldn't get married.
Yeah.
But thank you to Jessica and Allison, who helped us tremendously with what to do and where to go and what to eat in Atlanta, Georgia. And we met such cool people there. I love traveling. I just love meeting different vegans and animal rights people in different cities.
I know you do. I'm not as much of a traveler as I love coming home. I just love
it. Okay, but you can't come home unless you go somewhere. And didn't you have a good time?
Yeah, it was fun.
And we ate really well.
We ate too well.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We ate at 6 restaurants,
yeah,
and one of
eating.
Them twice.
Also, I had a busy, you know, yes. It's a little different. I have to go to all those meetings.
You were there. Tell people why you were there.
I was there because it was the ABA and the American Bar Association mid-year meeting, and I am the chair of the Animal Law Committee.
Yay!
Which is part of the TIP section.
Yay.
And we had our business meeting and we had our strategic planning session. So we got very strategic, but it was a lot of meetings.
You were really good. I took notes at the strategic planning meeting.
No, honey, you took notes at the business meeting.
The business meeting. And you know what else? You were very cute.
Aw, you're so cute, sweet.
You were like, you know, being a bossy bitch and, you know, making jokes.
I was not.
I know you weren't, but you were still cute.
You're just not used to my being in charge of anything because you never see me in charge of anything.
Ouch.
Are always in charge
okay,
of everything.
Okay.
My voice sounds awful. What's wrong with my voice?
I don't know. If someone out there knows what's wrong with Marianne's voice, let us know. So
gravelly.
We ate at, let's start the section where we talk about what we ate.
I'm hungry.
I know. We ate at Soul Vegetarian first and foremost.
Yeah, well,
duh. Been waiting 7
Twice.
Years to go to the Soul Vegetarian in Atlanta. I've been to the one in D.C.
I have never been to a Soul Vegetarian before. No, I actually was to one in D.C., but I think they didn't have any food.
What?
Yeah. The service was really bad.
Yeah, but this
really
one was
crowded
good.
And they ran out of food.
Right, but the one in Atlanta was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
And
the service was excellent.
We went to the one in Highlands.
which is a great, great, cute little neighborhood.
It was a really nice neighborhood.
We got a haircut while we were waiting to have a meal with Delcy, our friend.
We were early, so we were walking around, and we both looked shaggy. I saw a place, and with your usual spontaneity, you said, let's get our haircut.
Well,
I
Googled it first to make sure they'd give us an okay. But enough about the hair, which does look cute. Very cute indeed. We ate at Soul Veg, and the mac and cheese is killer. It's all vegan.
I mean, it doesn't taste like mac and cheese, so I'm not sure it's exactly the right thing to give to, you know, people and say, people who aren't vegan and say, this is mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. But it's just independently incredibly delicious. It's so creamy.
Yeah, it was great.
I don't know where they get that texture, and it's just delicious. You know, I think it's nutritional yeast-based.
There's a lot
That would be my guess.
It is, yes. That's what I've been told. Delcy has the cookbook. Delcy was our friend who was there also with the committee. She's a lawyer for PETA. She was on our show about a year ago.
And then they're kind of the masters of barbecue fake meat.
Mm, yes. And a lot of celebrities hang out there. Reuben Studdard.
The cornbread is great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cornbread. I love cornbread.
Reuben Studdard hangs out there. He was on The Tonight Show talking about it once. And so does Outkast and some other very cool people who make me feel remarkably uncool. They hang out there frequently.
Well, they weren't there. So fortunately, you got to be cool.
We also ate at Cafe Sunflower, which I think was my favorite meal of the whole time.
Yeah, that was really, really good. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be fine. We wanted to have one nice dinner out. It was a bunch of people from the committee. I'm not sure they're all vegan, so I wanted it to be a really special meal, and it was somebody's birthday, and it looked on the website like it was nice, but it looked like it would be just a little, you know, brightly lit kind of.
It wasn't
informal. It wasn't. It was a very lovely atmosphere, and the food was sensational.
Really, truly sensational. Yeah, and pretty healthy too, I think.
Yeah, in a not super healthy, not a health foodie way, but yeah.
In a decadent way. Healthy in a decadent way. It was a little pricier. It was our fancy meal out.
Yeah, but it was worth it.
Worth it, really.
It wasn't overpriced at all.
No.
And I really was scared when we were going up to it. It was like in a strip mall, and it wasn't even a fancy strip mall.
Yeah.
And I thought, but it was great.
Yeah.
Very pleased.
I can't recommend people go to that enough.
And
I mean,
have
that was great.
Chocolate raspberry cake for dessert.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And there were a few other places we ate at.
We never stopped eating.
We ate at
Roos. I think there was one day I had two lunches.
Which was Roussan's, the place where we got the sushi?
Yeah, that was the
sushi
last place.
Day we were there, we got sushi. Both of our meals together came to $8. And this was like a sit-down meal. And it was a huge meal. It was like,
it's mostly rice when you think about it.
It's not a vegetarian place, but they have a vegetarian menu. And they have all of this sushi, and every roll is like a dollar or two.
Yeah, that was the best variety of vegetarian sushi I've ever seen. What were some of the fillings? One was a
tofu tempura.
Yeah.
And kimchi.
Sweet potato.
Mm-hmm.
And something else.
Yeah, it was...
peanuts.
Peanuts, right. That was a good... Peanut maki.
Yeah.
That was good.
Really interesting variety. And they had loads more, too.
That was also in a strip mall. There's lots of strip malls in Atlanta.
Yeah, actually. I learned that later, that it wasn't really a sign of low-scale dining to be in a strip
Not
mall
at all.
Because, yeah.
But anyway, in that same strip mall was another vegetarian restaurant called Green Sprout that we did not have time to eat at. Because
I'm surprised there was any place that we didn't eat.
I know. We also had some vegan food at Flying Biscuit, which is, you know, a place that has some vegan options.
Yeah, that was fine.
Yeah, that was good.
I mean, one thing was hummus. And,
right. That was the day we went to this gay bookstore in Midtown called Outright Books, which is a great name of a bookstore.
Yeah, that is a good name.
We bought Jane Velez Mitchell's new book while we were there.
Finally. And I've started it. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't
Addict
wait.
Nation.
Addict Nation. But her other book, I Want,
she
is
really
fantastic.
She's really smart. It's very insightful.
Yeah.
And I love stuff about addiction.
Mm.
And she thinks that we're all addicted to everything, and I think she might be right.
I'm addicted to you, sweetheart. Oh, yeah, yeah. So we also ate at our, I can't believe this is so embarrassing. We were there for like 4 days. R. Thomas.
That place was cute. It's unfortunate that it was not all vegan.
Right.
They had lots of vegan options.
And raw options.
Healthy.
Raw vegan
And the entrance. Atmosphere was very eccentric.
There was one unfortunate
cute.
Part. They had a caged bird in the front.
Oh,
what
yeah,
the hell was
that
about?
There were a bunch of caged birds.
That
yeah.
was really sad.
Very just... unfortunate. And it was so cold out. I was wondering whether they should be out in that. It was cold in Atlanta.
Yeah, except for the last day we were there, it was really nice. And actually, the last day that we were there, we went to this thrift store, the Salvation Army, and that was across from the other Soul Veg, because there's
yeah, but
another
one. We didn't
one.
Get to go.
No, we didn't go to the other one, but we did see, like, in the parking lot of the Salvation Army, there was a Healthful Essence.
It was a Goodwill.
Goodwill.
It wasn't
really?
A Salvation Army.
Are you
yeah.
sure?
I'm positive.
Really?
Yeah, I'm positive.
All right. So there was a Healthful Essence vegan Caribbean food restaurant. We're like, well, that's a sign. Let's go. And I didn't like it, but
I know,
you did.
I thought it was really good. It was very much like the Uptown Juice Bar on 125th Street.
The Uptown Juice Bar is better.
But the same, I think you just weren't that hungry, which isn't surprising considering that
we just kept eating.
Yeah.
Do you know what was a fantastic, fantastic thrift store that we went to while we were there.
Oh, yeah. I loved that place.
It was called Second Chance, and it was in Avondale Estates, which is right outside of Atlanta. And they just opened a month ago, and all of the proceeds go to homeless animals, homeless dogs and cats.
Yeah, it was great. And I love the woman who ran it. She was sweet.
Really, really
Tanya,
sweet. Tanya.
Mm-hmm. And she had, like, the sweetest, very elderly Dalmatian.
Oh, I loved that dog.
I know. Was he was a Dalmatian, right?
He looked like a Dalmatian.
He might have been a mix. I'm not sure. Well, because he was a little big for a Dalmatian. He was almost like
a
Great
sweet.
Dane.
But there was huge.
Now I'm embarrassed that I said what breed he was because I don't really.
Because you're
really
a breeder,
sure.
breedist, not a breeder.
He was the most adorable dog, and he was 16 years old, and he helped run the place. And yeah, it was a great thrift store. Yeah. Things were very inexpensive. They were having a big sale on all the winter stuff, which was mm-hmm. good for us to buy since it'll apparently be winter here forever.
And you have to go visit their website. It's secondlifeatlanta.org. And if you live around there, you should not only buy, but you should donate there because it's worth it. It's a great spot for sure. It's funny that we just mentioned two thrift stores. We actually managed to go to both of those thrift stores, buy things, and yet still only come home with our carry-on luggage.
Yeah, barely.
If we had a grain of sand, I
crammed full. And we bought three dishes.
Yes, three dishes. And speaking of dishes, Jeanette Zeiss is an activist and an entrepreneur who we connected with when we were there, among many other people. She's really inspiring. I know her products, which are called Vegan Dish, but I didn't know about her until I read about her in The Vegan Girl's Guide to Life by Melissa Elliott, which does a little feature on different activists who are women. And Jeanette was one of them. And she lives in Atlanta where she runs her business, Vegan Dish. And she makes other pottery as well. But we decided to meet up with her for some tea and talk to her about...
I love her stuff.
Yeah.
It's just really beautiful.
Yeah. It's really amazing. And what she does is very cool. And I just love her whole holistic attitude. So we talked to her for a few minutes. So let's just catch up with Jeanette, and then we'll get back to talking about Atlanta. So we're very excited to be here in Atlanta with Jeanette Zeiss. Jeanette, I've been familiar with your Vegan Dish product line for a while, a few years now. How long have you had it?
I started it in 2007, so it's been about 3 years now.
And for people who might not be familiar with it, tell us what it's about.
I basically make a vegan-centric line of pottery, mugs, plates, bowls, and such that say vegan on them. A way to be proud of your vegan lifestyle.
And we're already proud of our vegan lifestyle, but we're even more proud because you just gave us the most beautiful dish and these little key rings here. I don't know if key rings is the right word to describe. Okay, well, they're beautiful. There's one of a bird, and we just love birds. And one says vegan, and the dish, which Marianne and I are going to fight over, is just gorgeous. You have such amazing, intricate detail in these. How do you make your products?
Thank you. They are made using a potter's wheel and stoneware clay. Each one starts out as a lump of clay, and I form it into a bowl or a mug, and it gets fired in the kiln a couple times. And I use different stamps and tools to make the various details on the designs.
Very cool.
So how long have you been working with clay?
I've been doing clay on and off for about 15 years. I took a class in high school and then took classes here and there as I made my way through college and went through full-time jobs and such. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, I formed a studio co-op with a bunch of other potters. We got together and shared a workspace. And that was really when I started taking it seriously. And then I was able to go full-time a few years after that.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad that you did. What originally inspired you to, I guess I'll say, label your dishware?
It was just something that I made for fun. I had a customer order a whole bunch of dinnerware sets that said different words on them, like they had different food words, like cheese and beets and vegetables.
Oppression, things like that.
Right, exactly. I think one even said, like, asabuco, and I was like, that's disgusting. So then I made, you know, vegan ones to kind of counteract that.
Yeah. I love that. You're just sort of taking it over. Just do it our way. Your website, I know there's a few ways to get to your products, but vesselsandwares.blogspot.com states that Vegan Dish is a reflection of your veganism and desire to spread awareness. I feel like this kind of art is similar to, in some ways anyway, to tattoos, which I have a lot of. It's sort of like bringing your worldview outside of yourself and labeling it for all to see. What kinds of reactions do people get when they use their vegan dishes? Or maybe you get these reactions. Maybe you're using them at the office, or others are using them at college, or maybe somewhere else in public.
Right. I think it's just a great way to start a conversation. Somebody will see, you know, your vegan coffee mug sitting on your desk at the office, and they'll be like, oh, you're vegan? And it's just a great way to get a conversation started about what veganism is and what it means to you. And I've rarely had somebody be rude about it. Most people are curious about it.
What was it originally that inspired your own veganism?
You know, I can't remember quite for sure. I remember having to cook for myself. I was living by myself, and I went to make myself chicken, and I just thought it was the grossest thing in the world. So I went out and bought two cookbooks, and they were both happened to be vegan cookbooks, and it just kind of all clicked, and it made sense.
I actually really like that story. Everyone, you know, so many people have some big dramatic story, but I like it was sort of like just didn't make sense anymore, and that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting how the raw flesh is so much more evocative of the dead animal. Then once it's cooked and processed, it doesn't really remind us so much, especially chicken. I mean, steak doesn't look that much like a cow, but chicken looks like a chicken. So do you have advice for anyone else who might be interested in starting a vegan business? What kind of connections to pursue, or how to market to that niche?
I was really fortunate when I started Vegan Dish that a lot of vegan blogs picked up on what I was doing, and it gained a lot of web interest that way. So I think it's really important to know who your audience is and know where those vegans are, and it's just a really fabulous way to be a part of a community. It's been so great to meet all these wonderful vegans that I've met.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. Know who your audience is for basically anything that we're doing business-wise or nonprofit-wise, or just putting ourselves out there. Like, who are you speaking to, and how can we get our message across? I think that you definitely are succeeding at that for sure. You mentioned that you had a lot of support around you. What is the vegan scene like here in Atlanta?
I think it's really great. I have a really solid group of friends that are vegans. I have a really solid group of friends that aren't vegans, but all the vegan friends are really supportive of each other. We, you know, some of us have businesses, and we try to support them as much as we can, and it's a really good way.
And the non-vegans don't get any bowls.
Right, exactly.
You could write, like, go at the beginning of it, like, go vegan.
Or like your idea of starting that oppression line.
Right, exactly. Yeah, blood. Bloody carcasses only, something like that. That would be great. One thing that Atlanta and also other cities seem to have much more than New York is you could go into many different places and find a vegan option. In New York, you're basically, not exclusively, but you're pretty much screwed unless you're at a veg restaurant, which of course there's like 160 to choose from, so I'm not complaining, but it is really nice that there's a vegan option. Do you find that that's the case here?
Right, I would definitely agree with that. Definitely. There's always seems to be a really good vegan option on the menu.
Well, we love what you're doing, and we love that you've found your own little niche of vegan activism, and that you're really spreading awareness that way, and your products are absolutely gorgeous. So thank you so much for coming to meet with us here in our virtual hen house, or should I call it like our remote hen house?
Our southern hen house?
A southern hen house. Or I guess people don't really talk like that. Sorry. My bad. So thanks, Jeanette. We love your products.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys talking to me.
So you can find Jeanette online in a few different places, including JeanetteZeis.com, and it's Z-E-I-S. So that was fun. That was really fun. And we did a bunch of other fun stuff, too. We went to this great feminist anarchist, lesbian, feminist,
kind of a lefty,
indie
lefty
bookstore. Yeah. It was called...
That was in Little Five Points.
Charis Books. Is that how you say it? Charis?
I don't know.
Well, it's Charis, Charis Books. And that was a really cool store. We spent a lot of time in it. They had a bunch of vegan cookbooks. And online, anyway, they have some animal rights books. So I thought that was nice because it's very, like, lesbian-oriented bookstore, I think. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. And, yeah, we were in Little Five Points, which Jessica had described to me as sort of the St. Mark's place of Atlanta. I don't agree with her.
Well, I thought that was reasonably accurate.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I felt like it was a little contrived. It wasn't really my thing.
St. Mark's Place is a little contrived, too.
That's true, I guess so. Though it was nice to walk around. It was also the last day that we were there, so we went to a nice little cafe.
There were lots of shops. Mm-hmm. Very young.
Yeah. Another
area. They don't really have thrift stores. It's the kind of place that has vintage stores.
That was actually the impetus for us to go to that Goodwill.
Yeah, because we wanted cheap. We wanted cheap stuff.
Right. And we wanted it to be above size 2, which was kind of what they had. We also had gone to Decatur, which Jessica told me is called Dick Hater by the lesbians. And I was like, I want to go to Dick Hater. And, you know, we went to a cute cafe for a latte because you had some work to do. But, you know,
all in all.
It was
a really cute cafe.
It was a really good cafe, but it wasn't the best.
I just remember
town.
Being really cold there. It was cold down in Atlanta.
One area that we both loved was Cabbage Town.
Yeah, that was really cute.
Yeah.
You know, it was tiny. Right. It was just really one street. But what was really bizarre there was that I happened to run into the hairdresser who had cut my hair two nights before when we were in Highlands.
And he said
this guy walked up to me and I look and started talking and I looked at him and I thought, I know him, but why do I know him?
Yeah. You figured it out. Yeah, he was a really nice guy.
He was adorable.
The name of the hair cutting place was Sheer Love. S-H-E-A-R. Love, Sheer Love.
Yeah, so, and I don't remember his name.
He was Scottish. Wasn't it Steve, I thought?
It could have been.
Just call him Steve. Ask for the Scottish guy.
Oh, that's like Humphrey Bogart in To Have and Have Not. Lauren Bacall just called him Steve throughout the whole movie, even though that wasn't his name.
Yeah. So we had a couple other really exciting things that I want to mention, and we'll get into detail a little bit later on the podcast. One was Dough Bakery, which we're going to talk about. We're going to review that in the review section.
Success. So very basically, excited about that new addition to the vegan baking pantheon.
Ooh, Pantheon, nice word. Jessica had told us about this again. It's at doughbakery.com, but they're not open yet. No, you needed a cake last minute for your colleague who had a birthday. And I don't know what's wrong with you, honey, but you have such a New York mentality about this. On Tuesday, you say, oh, yeah, I need a vegan cake by Friday. And I'm like, in Atlanta? Yeah. We have no car. Like, what? So I emailed the people at Dough Bakery, Laura.
So it worked.
I emailed Laura and I explained the situation, and she's one of the owners of Dough Bakery, and she created this cake called the Elvis, and it was unbelievable. It was peanut butter and banana. And
it was a banana cake with peanut butter buttercream icing. Of course, not real buttercream.
Right, vegan. It was great. And we fed it to a room full of lawyers, most of whom were not vegan. And then the following day, or...
Well, some of whom were not vegan.
A few days later, we got to eat at their stealth Sunday brunch, which they're not really open yet, but they do this sort of makeshift brunch sometimes. And we're going to talk a lot more about that during our review section as a sort of sneak peek into an upcoming vegan bakery. And another amazing place where we got to go, oh my God, was Cosmo's Vegan Shop.
I know. That was so exciting.
Which we've ordered from before, of course, and I'm sure you have too.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone has.
And we've met them before, but Ken and Lee, who run Cosmo's Vegan Shop, which is located in Marietta, Georgia, they are just such inspiring human beings. And we visited their showroom. We bought a bunch of stuff. Still fit in our carry-on.
Yeah.
And
carry-on was crowded.
And we talked to them about the history of Cosmo's Vegan Shop and about what it's like to run a vegan business in Georgia and their roots and their future plans. So let's talk to Ken and Lee from Cosmo's Vegan Shop. Ken and Lee Saluzzi are the masterminds behind Cosmo's Vegan Shop, which you can find online at cosmosveganshop2ps.com. And you can find them in person at Marietta, Georgia's showroom, which is just outside of Atlanta. Their store is vegan-owned and operated, and their goal of providing personalized service and unique products to the ever-growing vegan community is inspiring. Welcome to our henhouse, Ken and Lee.
Hi.
Hello.
We're here, actually here, in Cosmo's Vegan Shop, a.k.a. our remote hen house, I guess you could say.
Right here in Marietta, Georgia.
Marietta, Georgia.
You just never know where we're going to show up from week to week.
It's true. Last week, Chicago. This week, Atlanta, Marietta. Next week, the world. So Cosmo's Vegan Shop is a vegan mecca, not only here in the middle of Marietta, Georgia, but also really for vegans worldwide who order from your online shop, Cosmo's Vegan Shop with two P's and an E.com. So in the unlikely case that some of our listeners might have been living under a slab of tofu and are not yet familiar with Cosmo's, tell us about it.
Well, we started online in 2005, and we have grown from there. It's just a lot of fun. We sell a lot of vegan specialty products on our website. We also have a walk-in showroom where people can come by. And we meet a lot of people from all over the country. I love when people travel and come in. That's really cool when people are like, oh, I drove 5 hours to come to Cosmo's, and they bring coolers and they stock up. That's really, really neat.
Yeah, when we were coming here, it's funny. I was mentioning this to you before, but you're driving down the highway to get here and you see Sonic and you see, you know, Denny's, well, I don't know if it really was Denny's, and Checkers, Arby's. And Arby's, and KFC with that huge old chicken. And then it's like, Cosmo's. It's just like, thank God, you know, in the middle of this. So
where did the name Cosmo's come from?
The name came from our cat, Cosmo.
Aw, that's a lucky cat. Do you still have Cosmo?
Yes, he's still here. He's about 15, almost 16, and he's actually the CEO. He tells us what to do, and he, you know, we can't get him to pack any orders, but you know, he does give us advice from time to time.
Do you have any other family members besides the two of you and Cosmo?
We have a younger cat named Miles, and yeah, he doesn't help either. He's not a help at all.
Do you think maybe Miles is jealous that there's a store named after Cosmo, but not Miles?
We've talked about, you know, if we ever wanted to open a cafe, we would call it Miles Cafe, like a vegan cafe or something like that.
And are you maybe thinking of opening a cafe for real, or are you just, like, trying to appeal, you know, to the
trick Miles into thinking that you love him as much as Cosmo?
It's actually just for Miles' benefit. I don't know if there's a cafe in the works.
So when did you start Cosmo's Vegan Shop?
In March of 2005, we officially opened, but we started working on the website January and December, like, maybe Yeah, December of 04, January, right around there, I started. And it was basically a crash course in HTML. And if you ever go on and do that Wayback Machine, on and don't look at ours, because when we first started, there was a lot of experimentation.
Yeah, it's really changed just in the last 6 years. It's amazing how different websites are. I know that Issa was saying that with her, with Post Punk Kitchen, like, she had to encode every single thing. And now, basically, there's, like, a little assistant in WordPress that will do it for you.
Since you started, what kind of shifts have you noticed in terms of the availability of vegan food and specialty items?
There's actually been a big shift, which, you know, we always said when we first started that if we went out of business because vegan food was available everywhere, that would be a good problem to have.
No
because,
kidding.
Number one, we're vegan and we wanted to make vegan products available. But when we started, I mean, it was so easy to reach out to people and say, like, oh, we have these. We started out with such a small selection, but it was all, like, hand-picked vegan specialty items, and everybody's like, I've never seen this before. But now there are a lot of, not only are there a lot of vegan stores, which is awesome, but there's a lot of just health food stores carrying vegan stuff. There's more manufacturers of vegan products now. I think it's way more mainstream than it was 5-6 years ago, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with you. If that's the issue we're having, then, you know, maybe we could all retire and live on a beach in Boca or something like that.
I know. It's like when I hate it when people say get a life when you're protesting or doing something, talking about veganism. I would love to have a life. Yeah, there's lots of other things we could do. Though I can't think of anything I'd rather do than run Cosmo's vegan shop because it's a very cool place. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a large local group of people from the Atlanta region or Marietta, here in Marietta, who shop at Cosmo's, or is most of your business done online, or maybe both?
When we moved the store from Atlanta to here, we found out there were a lot of local people that were, hey, we're glad you're in the area. Now we can come by and shop with you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's quite a bit of people out there, and it's a wide range too. We belong to a monthly meetup group where we go out and eat and pick a restaurant or something. And you know, the range of people that are in that group are just wide. You know, it's wide range. It's great. You know, it's wonderful. It's not just one type of person, or you know, because back when I became a vegetarian and vegan, it was from the punk rock scene, so it was only punk rock kids that were into it, you know. And then I ventured out and met other people that were into it that weren't into that scene at all, that happened into it other avenues. So in the Marietta area, I have to say, it's a wide range, which is great.
And how much of your business is online?
I would probably say maybe 80 or 90%. It actually is quite a bit. You know, we have a core group of locals, but we do most of our business online.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised to hear that because you have an enormous online presence. And I know that you're hugely popular with many of our listeners.
Yeah, actually, we do surveys for our podcast, and we did a survey asking people what their favorite, you know, online vegan store was, and Cosmo's was up there. Cosmo's might have won, actually. It was a while ago, but I think Cosmo's might have been the winner.
Awesome.
Yeah. So tell us about your favorite vegan products. Let's start with something that I feel we have conquered in the past few years, at long last, cheese. What's your favorite, and what do you think is the most popular among others?
My favorite vegan cheese is Cheezly, and I'm sad to say that they're no longer available in the U.S.
I sense a campaign coming on.
I don't know. I like Tees a lot, and I like Day a lot. Mm. I think Tees definitely broke down the walls in a large way, because they were the first to come out with a melting one that was available widespread through pizza shops, and they also distributed it through vegan stores too. So they were very, very good about getting the product out. Cheezly was great. The mozzarella was my favorite. And
I remember the Cheezly. It never came to our area, but it was in Portland. And when I was visiting Portland, they gave me some. That was great.
Leahy is another company. They make this mac and cheese product. And their cheese sauce is great. I dump it on everything.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you ever make your own cheese sauce or cheese?
Lee makes awesome.
Yeah, I like to cook. I like to make, like, the old school nutritional yeast-based cheese sauce or, like, a cashew-based. You know, it's always fun.
What about vegan meats? Any personal favorites? And what do you find are the most popular among your customers?
You know, I know not all vegans are into meat substitutes, but I love fake meat. I really do. I enjoy if as long as it's not made of animal, I don't care. I like it. I really do like the match meats a lot. I think they're, I cook a lot, so I like being able to use it. It's very versatile. It's like ground meat, and you can add your own seasonings to it. I think they make the best burgers, the best chicken parmesan, you know, vegan style. Match has a very strong following. We have a certain core group of customers who just buy the heck out of it. They buy a lot. So, yeah, and soy curls are very popular. They're almost cult following, soy curls, which we enjoy, too. I think they're really good.
Yeah, I really like soy curls. I was telling you before that I got some from my grandma, who just went vegetarian at age... Wow. She's almost 87 now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and thank you. My whole family is pretty much vegan except for my brother. And so my grandmother was, you know, she just joined the club, and she doesn't really cook, and she can't have sodium, and soy curls has no sodium, and it's really easy to prepare. Like, you could just throw it in a super set. I feel like I'm doing a commercial for soy curls. But what are some new products you have that you're excited about?
Yeah, everybody's really excited about the queso. Like, queso is like hot right now. There's two products out right now, the Nacho Moms queso and the Food for Lovers queso, and they're both nutritional yeast-based sauces. They're both, you know, soy free, and they're really good. It's kind of nice to have kind of a throwback, like non-soy cheese, like that's really popular. And Ken mentioned the candy bars, Go Max Go candy bars, and the Jacques candy bars are really popular too.
What was the name of that raw cookie I just ate? Do you remember the name of it?
It's a Cookie Karma.
That was cookie with a K, right?
Yeah.
That was great. I mean, that was delicious. I noticed on your website, I was looking back at your blog, that you did something, it just recently ended. It was called Dandies for Haiti. Can you tell us what that was? Because I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, actually, I can talk about that. My friend Greg Bennick, who used to sing for a band called Trial, is running this, he's starting this program, which was basically a year after the events that happened in Haiti to raise more money. And so he contacted us and a few other people and tried to, basically it was called 100 Shows for Haiti. Mm-hmm. So bands or whatever you wanted to do, you could put something together, and during a week in January, all proceeds would go towards that. So we linked up with him and Chicago Soy Dairy, and so we did this deal where we donated $1 for every bag of dandies that we sold to Haiti.
And for people who aren't familiar with dandies?
They are marshmallows, vegan marshmallows.
Because real marshmallows have what in them?
They have gelatin.
Hooves.
Yeah. Hooves. Yum.
So let's talk business a bit. Before you started Cosmos, did you have a lot of experience in running a business?
No, not really. I didn't have experience running a business. The only thing I had experience in relating to Cosmos was I did do some work at health food stores. It wasn't even my main thing that I did. I used to work in a dark room. I used to print custom photography. So I had nothing to do with Cosmos. I just happened to be vegan. Now, Ken had a record distro. So he had some back-end experience, so I think that really helped us out. So
were there any unexpected challenges when you first started, and how did you overcome them?
HTML.
Right.
QuickBooks.
Yeah. We still can't figure out QuickBooks. We've given up.
That's one bit of advice I can give to anybody who's starting any business is get your QuickBooks, or if you're using QuickBooks, learn how to use it right, because we had to go back and fix some stuff a couple years after the fact. Right. So we're good, but there was a thing where there was a big problem that we had to fix. And so those are two things, HTML and QuickBooks. I basically handled a lot of the back end stuff, and Lee would handle, she was the buyer, or still is the buyer, and you know, she seeks out new products and all that.
Is there any other advice besides that, which I think is excellent advice? Is there any other advice you would give to someone who might be interested in starting a vegan business?
I think that we actually are approached maybe 4 or 5 times a year by people wanting to start a vegan business, and we always say the same thing, in that you should work in a similar industry for like a year before you do it. You know, I got that from Clark Howard. He's like a consumer advocate or something on the radio here on AM radio. But I think it's true. If I didn't have buying experience, health food store experience, I wouldn't know what to do. You know, it would. I mean, it's not brain surgery. We would have figured it out. But I think that really helped. Mm-hmm. Just ease the process.
Yeah.
You know? And another thing, take your budget, take that number, multiply by 10. And there you go. Because yeah. Things happen that you don't realize that you have to pay for, and little things, especially if you're putting it, if you're building out a retail store, there's little things like 220 power for a freezer, there's space constraints, there's code, you know, you have to make sure you apply for all the permits, and, you know, that's not overnight. You have to wait a while. So there's little things that pop up that can kind of get in your way. But think of those things as temporary speed bumps, little bumps that you can get over. Mm-hmm. You'll never have to deal with it again. So if anybody's wanting to do it, by all means, go for it. It's just put a little more planning into the money, budget, and what your customers really want.
And I got to add, too, that it's really a labor of love running a vegan business, and all of our vegan business friend owners, you know, friends who own vegan businesses can say, too, that you're not going to be a millionaire if you own a vegan business.
Really?
I know, right? We love it. And
that's why we go into animal rights for the money?
Yeah, we're money, you know. I don't know what some people think, but, you know, it's very modest, but a lot of fun.
So going back a little further in your history, what was it originally that awakened your veganism?
I became a vegetarian in 1994. And it was basically, I my older sister is still a vegetarian, so she was, and I have an aunt who is a vegetarian. So I had two family members who were involved with animal rights. And then in 1994, I made a decision to stop eating meat. And that was, you know, basically coming from the punk rock scene, there were, you know, the vegan message was going pretty strong during the 90s. So, yeah, I was influenced by some of the bands that were out during the time. Like a lot of my friends were, and the Atlanta, my friends in the scene, you know, got really big till about the late 90s, and then people started moving, and after they started moving, then their things started changing. You know, people stopped becoming vegan; they started eating meat. It was sad, but that's where I came from, and I went vegan in 1997. So it took me 3 years to go from vegetarian to vegan. So. Some people can do it, can go vegan right away. For me, it was a gradual thing, and I hate to say it, but cheese was the one thing that stopped me from going vegan for the longest time. But ever since then, it's been awesome. I've looked back, and it's I would recommend it to anybody.
Well, I went vegetarian before I went vegan also. I actually, while I was a teenager, I was 17, and I worked at a pizza place, and I used to work on the pizza line, and I would shove pepperonis in my mouth as I was working. It's real hygienic. And one of the dudes that worked there told me, he's like, you know, those are made of lips and assholes. And I was like, shut up. You know, it was one of those moments where people tell you what's in something and you're like, I don't want to know, one of those.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, it is animal parts. It is pretty disgusting. But then I think shortly after that, some sort of outreach material from PETA got in my hands. And that pretty much did it. I think I read a downed cow story, and I didn't know any. I think I knew maybe one vegetarian, and I knew zero vegans.
Yeah.
And it took me a good 10 years to actually finally make the dairy and egg connection. And it's unfortunate it took me that long, but when I did, it was pretty easy. And Ken really helped me with that, because when I met him, it was like, oh, you're vegan? Oh, it is really simple, and
yeah.
Of course, and, you know, so.
And it's a good thing you did, because otherwise we might not have Cosmos. Like, tell us a bit about the vegan scene in Atlanta and the Atlanta area.
You know, it's kind of, there's a lot of different people who are vegan here for a lot of different reasons. It's, you know, which is cool that there's a lot of different vegans here of different walks of life. There is an animal rights community here, but it's pretty small.
But they're very dedicated.
Very yeah. dedicated,
very,
yeah.
It's pretty strong. You know, there is a small animal rights group, but they do lots of great work. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, there's lots of folks that will join in other events. So when we had, like last year, we had the vegan bake sale. It was a tremendous turnout. We raised like like $1,300 or $1,400.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, which is awesome. And went to a local, a HIMSA house, right?
Yes. One year we did a HIMSA house. The other year was...
The other year was catnip. So we just do local animal rescue groups and things, and people always come out for vegan baked goods.
Yeah, and a HIMSA house is a local organization. What they do is they help animals in households where there's been domestic violence. So, you know, like the animals are always, you know, neglected as well. If a husband's beating his wife, he's probably doing the same to an animal in the house too. So they go in, they rescue these animals. They do really great work.
That's amazing work. I know that's an issue in a lot of communities, and it's so great to hear there's somebody actually on the ground working on that here. Because a lot of abused people won't leave the home because of fear for the animal, and so that just gives it's such a great way to integrate with another social justice movement. So, speaking of families, though not domestic abuse, that's the worst, possibly the worst segue in the history of our head house. I noticed you might be thinking of having a child. So, do you know good resources for raising vegan children?
Have
you given any thought to that?
I suppose
Doc Hooten say?
I suppose I should mention, yeah, that I'm 8 months pregnant. Yeah, we're expecting our first. We just decided to start making vegans. We figured it, you know.
Are you going to sell them on the shop?
We figured it's easier than like leafleting and just make them. We're expecting our first kid in about 5 weeks. And I've found just vegan friends who have had babies have been really, really helpful. We actually have a few, which is cool. And I know that not everybody does have vegan friends they can ask. But there are more and more vegan blogs out there that are child raising oriented. There's networks. There's even I noticed on the Post Punk Kitchen forums, there's like a pregnancy thread and like a whole area there. There's a gal coming out with a vegan pregnancy book in the summer that Herbivore is publishing. Her name is Sayward, and she's coming out with a vegan pregnancy book. So I think that's going to be really helpful because there's no such thing as a completely vegan pregnancy book out there yet.
What about the one that Rory wrote? Bun in the Oven, right? Bun in the Oven.
You know what? I forgot about that book, and I haven't seen it. I should pick it up.
Yeah, that would be great.
So what is
you don't
your
have too much time left before?
Yeah.
You
have to read that immediately.
Hurry.
So what is your hope for future generations of the animal rights movement?
I hope that 20 years from now, people look back and say, you guys actually did that stuff. I can't believe that you guys still ate meat, had slaughterhouses, treated animals poorly, all that stuff. I hope that in 20 years or 10 years or 5 years that we could grow from the 1% to 10% to 20%. To 30, you know, and it can happen.
That's great.
Know? Like, more celebrities that promote veganism, they reach a wide audience, and they might reach 10 to 20% of their audience that way, and that's a tremendous way of growing it.
I think that's a very hopeful way to end our interview today. It was so much fun being here, and we have a whole backpack full of stuff that we bought here, and we're really excited to go home and eat it all and wear it all at the same time. It's just going to be like our Cosmos Day. Thank you so much, Ken and Lee, for having us here in Marietta, Georgia. Can I say it like that? Thank you for having us to Marietta, Georgia. Is that how people talk here?
Thanks for coming, y'all. Yeah. Thanks so much, y'all.
We really love what you do, and I mean, if we didn't have people like you providing vegan products and vegan food to the masses, then where would we be? I mean, there needs to be more Cosmos around, or Miles's, or whatever you want to call it.
More branches of Cosmos in every metropolitan area.
Exactly. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you
very much. And you guys do awesome work.
Oh,
so we just wanted to say that.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Take care.
That was Ken and Lee Saluzzi from Cosmos Vegan Shop. And now let's get right into some news, shall we?
Lots of news going on today, or this week, I should say.
Yeah, there was a good article. I guess it was a good article. It's hard to tell sometimes. But it was from the Des Moines Register, which is, of course, in Iowa, and they were talking about Meatless Mondays and talking about how terrible this is for the meat industry and how the meat industry is really upset about it. I mean, that's great news, and I'm glad to hear it. Meatless Mondays are very nice, and yet
when you actually read the article, you just wonder what they have to be upset about. First of all, a lot of the dishes that seem to be offered as an alternative seem to have cheese in them.
Right. No, I noticed that in the picture that they had a picture of this woman, Beverly Morse, and she was showing her eggplant parmesan all proudly.
I mean, I guess it is less animal products than some things, but and a lot of the focus is on the fact that Sodexo, the food service company, which is a huge food service company, has now joined the Meatless Mondays campaign and will be doing Meatless Mondays, which is huge. It's really great. But they make the point that even on Meatless Mondays, they still offer meat because people get too upset if they don't, and they just feature a couple of meatless entrees. You know, like, big deal.
The next article we have came from a local New Jersey paper called Atlanticville, but I think it was picked up in several local New Jersey papers, and it's called A Bakery That Creates More Than Just Treats, and it's about this vegan bakery that opened up in Keyport, and it's called Papa Ganache, and it features this woman who runs it, Lisa Cerotti, who's also a social worker, and it's really her mission to have this vegan bakery and do outreach into her community for at-risk kids to come work at the bakery and get experience running the cashier spot and baking a little bit. And she also, in addition to having just vegan products, also she has a gluten-free and wheat-free and things like that for kids with special diets. She's doing a lot of really great work in her community.
She sounds completely amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's both teenagers who are at risk because they're, you know, in some kind of trouble or whatever. And also younger children who have various disabilities, some with developmental disabilities. And they talk about, you know, some of these older kids working with the younger kids. And just, she sounds like a completely amazing woman.
Yeah. And the article pointed out many times, you know, what vegan is and why vegan, you know, it has no animal products. It didn't really come at it from an ethical point of view, but it came at it from a health point of view. And it certainly was not saying anything, you know, pro animal products at all. So it was a great article. There's another article that has been really big in the news lately concerning, how do you say his name?
I have no idea.
It's
you know, I didn't hear this. I just read this
Bjorley
story.
Let's say Bjorley.
The White Sox player. Probably people have heard about him.
B-U-E-H-R-L-E, Bjorley. Mark and Jamie. Jamie's his wife. And he made the news lately for some comments he made about Michael Vick.
Yeah, it was just in some tweet, and it was so mild-mannered. But, you know, I guess it was a stupid thing to say. He said they couldn't help but feel when they were watching some of the games that they were rooting for him to get hurt. And of course, everybody's up in arms that he said such a terrible thing. And when you actually read about what this guy and his wife do, they're just remarkable. They do an enormous amount of animal rescue, and they sound like such great people. And I was actually in a meeting where there were a bunch of non-animal people and happened to mention this story, and everybody was like so disapproving. Oh, how could he just say such a thing? It just makes me sick. You know, Michael Vick, he's just gotten off scot-free, and he never says he's sorry. And the mayor of Dallas has given him the mayor pro tem. I don't know what the difference is, but it's important because I don't want to blame the wrong person. The mayor pro tem gave him the key to the city. I mean, what did he do? I totally believe that people who commit crimes and go to prison should get a second chance, and they should be allowed to pursue whatever career they can. And he happens to be a great football player, so he should be allowed to pursue that. But do we have to like him? I mean, do any of us have to like him? Does anybody require to watch him? Do we have to now think he's a great guy? All he did was go to prison and come out and play football well. Right. That's all it takes in this country to be a hero. Just play football well. Doesn't matter what kind of a son of a bitch you are. All right, stop me.
Okay, our friend Josh.
And I like Mark, and I don't care what he said, and I, you know.
We should get him on our podcast.
It was a stupid thing to say. I wish he hadn't said it because he was, but you know, he wouldn't have gotten any press for all the wonderful things that he and his wife do if he hadn't said.
That's true.
Like, it would just go unnoticed, and apparently he's been really doing some great things with the White Sox organization, getting people to support dog rescue.
Our friend Joshua Ketcher is in the news. It's a really
amazing
story.
Go Joshua.
Urban Outfitters falsely advertised real fur as fake, and Joshua broke the story through
of course, Joshua is from The Discerning Brute, but he's also launched this new campaign called Pinnacle, Reinvent the Icon. And this is through Pinnacle. Basically, he broke this story about Urban Outfitters, and they have since apologized and said, you're right, it was an atrocity, and we're going to take it down, take it away. So it really, it's a great story where Joshua was really active, and look at the results. And it also goes to show you not to wear fake fur, you know?
Yeah, though I've worn fake fur in the past and haven't felt bad about it. But I guess you never know, though there is a law. This didn't actually come under the law, because the law extending, the law prohibiting mislabeling real fur as fake didn't apply to small items, low price items, but it will as of March. So this didn't actually violate that law, which seems ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But it will soon. And, you know, Urban Outfitters, to their credit, apologized, blamed it on their supplier. And, you know, I'm looking at the sweater that it was on. Boy, it is one ugly piece of clothing, yeah, I have to say.
It really is. Our friend from overseas in England sent us this story. Plans for Lincolnshire Super Dairy are withdrawn.
Yeah, that was good news. Good for them over in merry old England. And, you know, it was mostly on, they didn't want such a big facility in their community in Lincolnshire. And is that Lincolnshire or Lincolnshire? Whatever. And, you know, on environmental grounds, and I think the small dairy farmers were against it too. So it wasn't any vegan movement, but still, they stopped a mega dairy. First, it was going to be 8,000 cows, and that was horrified people. And then they dropped it to 4,000 cows, but still, people mm-hmm. stuck to their guns and fought it. And now, if only they would just stop drinking the milk that they wouldn't be able to get if there weren't these mega dairies somewhere right. supplying their milk, that would be right. a good thing.
You mean you didn't see the addendum to the article saying, P.S., everyone in Lincolnshire went vegan?
Oh, no, I missed that. I'm always missing the good news.
Yeah. And that was our news. In the review section, we have a very special sneak peek into a very delicious up-and-coming vegan bakery in Atlanta. So we're here right now at Dough Bakery in Atlanta, Georgia. We're getting a sneak peek at this not-yet-opened bakery, and I couldn't be happier.
This is like the cutest space. I just love this space. It's very spacious, and they have it done just so cute. They have these beautiful wooden counters with this inset of like very old pressed tin. It's kind of an old-fashioned feel, but a funky feel.
Kind of industrial a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't really know this neighborhood, but when we're driving around it, we got a zip car for today, so we're driving. And it looks great. I mean, it's the first neighborhood I've seen in Atlanta that I really thought, well, yeah, this is cool.
Well, let's start by talking about the cake we got. We got a cake for one of your colleagues whose birthday it was, and it was called the Elvis. And it was a peanut butter and banana cake that we kind of ordered on a whim because you needed this cake, and we found them through Jessica Mahady, who told us about Dough Bakery. And it was unreal. Like, it was so moist and fresh and unlike any cake I have. I don't think I've ever had a peanut butter banana cake.
No, I don't either. And yeah, that was what inspired us to review Dough Bakery, because I'm excited about the fact that they're opening. I'm a little depressed about the fact that they're opening in Atlanta. But yeah, the cake was just really, I mean, it was so fresh. Like the peanut butter, I mean, it was a banana cake and that was delicious, but the peanut butter icing, really spectacular. It had a really strong peanut flavor, but was really sweet and creamy, and it was also a huge cake.
Yeah, it fed a room full of lawyers, many of whom were not vegan, and they loved it too.
Yeah, we were able to just, you know, announce in that casual way, yeah, everything's vegan, and you know, it has an effect on people.
So let's take a pause while we try our brunch. So we just had like a quote-unquote fried egg sandwich made with the bread that Laura makes herself, and it reminded me exactly of my favorite food from growing up, which I love to have the vegan version of that once it's available to you. I mean, it was like a fried egg sandwich, and it was plentiful, unlike when you go to get a little, you know, egg McMuffin type of vegan, of course. Oftentimes they're very small. This was a sandwich.
I loved everything about this. My only problem is I want at least 12 more. And you just said it was really big, and now I feel embarrassed, but I want 12 more. It's like this really, really good homemade white bread. God, I love white bread. Yeah. Like really high quality and great big slices. And then I don't know how she makes the tofu so much like egg. It looks like egg. It has like a... Somebody mentioned that she might use a quiche recipe just rather than a straight out scramble.
Yeah, that's what someone said to us. But it's true because it was like the most eggy sandwich I think I've ever had. You know, it had the consistency of scrambled eggs. And this really funny thing happened because, as you know, if you've listened to our henhouse, I hate daya cheese, and so they were going to make me one with tofutti cheese, but sort of accidentally made it with the daya cheese, and I didn't notice at all. Three quarters of the way into the sandwich, Laura comes running over, like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And I'm like, there's daya in it, isn't it? She said, yes. And I'm like, well, I didn't taste it at all. So this was my first positive daya experience.
Well, I think that's both exciting because it can add daya to our repertoire and a little dangerous because I'm not sure I need to add our regular repertoire. There are two pizza places within delivery distance of our home that use daya cheese, and I don't need that in my life. But yeah, I'm excited that you don't have that aversion to it. I think it was just a bad incident.
No, but it was several incidents.
No, I mean there was a bad incident that started you off, and then, you know, you got an aversion to the taste. Yeah, this didn't have a lot in it, but, you know, you could taste it. Also, the earth balance. I mean, like, how could it be bad?
That's true. Yeah, and it's also, like, not foods we eat anymore, so it felt like such a huge, amazing treat.
The only thing sad is that I understand that one of the specialties of Dough Bakery is going to be biscuits. And I just wish we had a chance to try one, but you know they're not on the pre-opening menu, so that makes me sad.
It was out. They were out of them, of the biscuits.
I mean, we're in the South. I want a biscuit.
Yeah. And I just want to point out that Laura's partner who runs Dough Bakery with her, Kevin, is wearing a shirt that says, I love falafel, which I kind of want.
He's a man after my own heart. I love it myself.
There's lots of really cool people here, too. Is that an awkward thing to say? But there are.
I think we're in the hipster area of Atlanta.
I think we are. It's quite nice. This was a big treat for us to come to Dough Bakery and have a sampling of what they have to offer. And for anyone either in Atlanta or going to visit Atlanta, once this is open, definitely check it out because you don't want to miss this. They have all of these baked items. I've never tasted icing quite like this. You know, sometimes I've had icing, vegan icing, that's very good, but it's just a little too sweet, too sugary. Hers was just the perfect amount of sweetness, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely, and a really strong peanut butter flavor.
Yes. Elvis was not mistaken with his love of peanut butter and bananas because that Elvis cake the other day was great. But yeah, she has the peanut butter frosting on other things as well. To stay up to speed on the Dough Bakery, you could sign up for their mailing list at doughbakery.com. And they have a blog there, too. I like to sign up for things like that, even in cities where I don't live, because I think it's fun.
I wonder if they're going to have mail order.
Yeah, we'll have to find out. We'll ask. And they're also on Facebook and Twitter. Dough Bakery. So as it turns out, yes, they will have mail order, but limited mail order availability. So again, stay up to speed on what they're doing at doughbakery.com. And it was quite an amazing Atlanta adventure. And that was our podcast for today. Next week, we'll be back in New York City. The following week, however, we'll be in Boston. So if you have any ideas for us what to cover in Boston, email us at info@ourhenhouse.org. And if you have anything to tell us just in general, email us there. Be sure to stay on top of our blog at ourhenhouse.org. It goes up daily with different ideas and opportunities for people to get involved with changing the world for animals. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us easily there, and we have lots of fun incentives going on at various times. Right now, we are still offering the incentive that if you donate $25 to our hen house, you get a copy of the amazing book 95, published by No Voice Unheard. It's a beautiful picture book of farm animal stories, rescued farm animal stories. It has photographs. It tells their story. If you donate $50, you get a free Our Hen House tote bag, all ethically sourced and vegan made by our friends at Lion's Share Industries. And if you donate $75, you get both. So you can check all that out at ourhenhouse.org too. We have an Etsy page, and you could also support us by buying some of the Etsy items, like beautiful knitted wear by Beth Bagani and beautiful jewelry. And if you're interested in contributing to our Etsy page, let us know. And that was basically our show for today. Feel free to leave a comment on iTunes saying that you love us and you love our show, if in fact that's true. Otherwise, don't worry about it. And we look forward to talking to you next week. So thank you, and have a fabulous, fabulous vegan week.